with Michigan and the world.
Sheepdog, standing in the rain. Bullfrog, doing it again. Some kind of happiness.
All right, it is 45 after on a free-for-all Friday. Michigan State has the weekend off. Michigan will be playing for the first time since that monumental loss to Michigan State. As Tim Stout put it here not that long ago, he said that, it was a spectacular loss. Not so much a big victory for the Spartans, but a spectacular loss for the Wolverines. One of the craziest, most infamous losses probably in sports history, that one will be. At any rate, it's right up there with Cordell Stewart, another spectacular Michigan losses. At any rate, Michigan returns to the playing field this weekend while Michigan State takes the weekend off. Playing Minnesota are the Wolverines, and here is the Dean of Sports, Tim Stout, to join us. Tim, welcome aboard.
Morning, State.
You know, for Jimmy Harbaugh, he said he doesn't respect, you know, that 24-hour rule of you think about it for 24 hours. I think he dwells on this stuff. I think he sits here and dwells on this stuff, and I think that it makes him, well, part of who he is. It makes him more competitive. It makes him angry. And that loss is probably going to irritate him for, well, the rest of his life, and therefore it'll be a motivating factor in his coaching, I think. What do you make of it going into Minnesota?
Well, I heard him say this week that the only way to erase the stench of that loss was to beat Minnesota. And as much as I respect and like Harbaugh, I completely disagree with that. I don't see how anybody who's a fan of any team or plays on any team in any competitive sport, losing in that matter, can ever get over that in any way, shape, or form simply because of the ramifications of the way that you lost, especially against, your rival who's frustrated you. I can't think of many games or in any sport where, you had a win that if you took care of business and they just didn't do it. I understand he wants to get his team focused on the next game and not make it two losses instead of one. And he does have a dangerous opponent tomorrow night in Minnesota. And it is in Michigan's best interest to play as hard as it possibly can and win that game and, quote-unquote, try to get back on the right track, because another loss is going to get a lot of questions about how this season's going to end.
Well, sure. And right now, if I'm not mistaken, Wolverine's big favorites, two touchdown favorites. So if they came out on the wrong end of that, it would pose a lot of questions to Michigan.
Well, it's more confusing this week because Minnesota's coach abruptly stepped aside. The assistant there wants the job and is openly campaigning for it. The best way for him to make points is to win games, and certainly winning the Little Brown Jug for the second year in a row would not hurt in that regard. Minnesota's been an up-and-down team all year long, so how Minnesota reacts to the distraction it has had this week is difficult to say. I mean, I think on paper, Michigan clearly is a better team, but I can't get out of the back of my mind the fact that Michigan struggled so dramatically on offense against Michigan State. I mean, I think Michigan was very fortunate to be leading in the first place because Michigan State's special teams were, as usual, so weak, and Michigan's special teams were very good. That alone, got them just a little bit over the top. Didn't hold them off, but it got them over the top for there. I need to see if Michigan can play much better offensively against Minnesota tomorrow night.
Yeah, and if they can't, then there's your question. Now, meantime, it seems I see this quarterback from Pennsylvania. If Jim Harbaugh heads a program, quarterbacks just flock like he's the Pied Piper to get him to the NFL, because it's the fifth best passer in the history of the state of Pennsylvania, in the history of the whole state ever, doesn't get a scholarship. He's a walk-on to the University of Michigan.
Well, the one thing I like about Harbaugh that other coaches I don't think respect is how absolutely crucial it is that you have a quarterback. You can have 21 other terrific players, and if you don't have a quarterback in this sport, you're dead in the water. I mean, not having a quarterback, I claim, cost Brady Hoke his job. If he would have had one, he'd still be over there today. But he doesn't. And I think when Harbaugh came in, he knew he had to find somebody to kind of hold the fort down for a year. So he got a guy who started 2 years in the Big Ten who was available, and they've kind of nursed him along. And frankly, I think the experiment, for the most part, has worked pretty well. But obviously, to get to where they want to go, you look at the best teams in the country year in and year out, they've got a quarterback. And Michigan, if they got to get 100 up, they're going to get 100 up so they can find one or two of them that can take them to where they want to go.
And there's no question. You look back to their first loss at Utah. And there were a couple of passes that Rudock overthrew people that were in the wide open with nothing between them and the end zone, except two blades of grass. Same thing against Michigan State. If they'd had a quarterback that was premier, they'd have won both of those games.
You wonder about Michigan State next year. I mean, they'll have a lot of good players returning, but they're going to have a very inexperienced quarterback, whoever that is, and they rely on their quarterback now as much, if not more, than any other team in the country. I mean, going forward, Michigan State's going to have a tremendous issue figuring its offense out next year around an inexperienced player with what appears to me to be a far tougher schedule than what it had this year. But that's next year's problem for Michigan State, which will be part of the intrigue next year between the two, because both of them next year are going to have a different quarterback.
And before we go today, I got a question for you. Who's going to be on the Lions sideline come next season? Because, Caldwell, what are they, 1-6? It's just a horrible campaign again, and we got about 30 seconds.
Well, you got to wait and play the season out, because they could, if they turn things around to some degree, most NFL coaches get more than 2 years, and last year they were very good. At this point, I don't necessarily think that he's doomed to be gone next year. Now, look, if they finish 2-14, something like that, that might be something different. But if they're competitive in the second half of the year, my guess would be that he would be back for a third year. But that's a guess.
Yeah, I guess we'll keep an eye on that. USA Today said he's the worst coach in the NFL. I don't know if that might be a little harsh, but it's what they said. Anyhow,
well,
Tim.
Well, last year they were as good a team as they've had in a long time, but for a crazy call, they might have beat Dallas, gotten another rung in the NFL playoffs. So he must have taken a stupid pill between then and now. But you look at the personnel that he's lost on defense, and I'm not making excuses for him. Maybe he is, and maybe they won despite him. I don't know. He has been fired elsewhere. But I'm not sure that's their central problem, though, either.
All right, fair enough. Tim Stout, the Dean on Sports, always a pleasure. There you have it, everybody. Tim Stout, where do you find him? You find him right here on Free For All Fridays, breaking it all down for you. We'll be right back with some final thoughts after this.